Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you as always. And you're going to be glad you're hanging out with me because we got a new friend. Bill Diffenderfer is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Bill is a travel industry CEO, actually more than once. He has worked with one of our partners, IBM, over the years. He's an attorney. He's also an author now of his second book, the first one, which is now being distributed around the globe, The Samurai Leader, Winning Business Battles with Wisdom, Honor, and Courage of the Samurai Code. And his new book is called, it's a novel, folks, it's called A Bank of Last Resort. Bill Diffenderfer, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
It's good to have you here, Bill. Let's talk about the circumstances that gave rise to your book. Now, your book is a novel, and any resemblance to any real-life people or circumstances was completely intentional, I think, wasn't it?
It was completely intentional, although nobody's really ever mentioned.
Right. No, I get that. You kind of have to have followed it a little bit, but tell us the basic, give us the foundation for the novel.
Okay, well, let me start with saying the novel is very much a cautionary tale, and I'm a strong capitalist. But I never thought of myself as a moderate or a conservative or a Democrat or a Republican. I'm just sort of a middle-of-the-road kind of guy who, back in the beginning of March got very angry at what was going on, it seems like, between Washington and the business world.
Yeah.
And I remember
Stop you for a second. What was it that was giving you I'm stopping you, Bill, is because when I heard you say that, I immediately thought of about six things that could make you, that would make you irritated. Was there one in particular, or give us three or four that would jump out? I mean,
well,
the banking situation is one.
Was the president firing the CEO of General Motors?
That I'm still mad about that.
I'm mad about that, but I'm more mad because there were a lot of other things happening along the same time, and that was all of a sudden the government was appointing board members to the banks, to the automobile industry.
They're now troubled. I understood that the government is now administration is now troubled that GM didn't do what they wanted to do with Opel.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I suspect that you have to look deeper than that, perhaps.
And you'll have to tell us about this association, but also the way they're treating the Bank of America, Ken Lay at the Bank of America.
Absolutely. Lewis.
I meant Ken Lewis. I apologize.
Yeah. It was a very good executive, and look what's happened there.
Well, he's a scapegoat now.
Absolutely, and so you've got when government is not supposed to run businesses,
right?
And when that starts to happen, people like me get angry.
Yep.
And I think a lot of America should get angry.
I'm with you on that, 100%.
The government does not know how to run businesses.
They don't even know how to run the government.
Well, that's a whole other story.
Yeah. That's another book, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
So that's why you got a little bit irritated. Now what?
Okay, now let's start with something that really did happen. In January, the president called the CEOs of the 9 largest banks and to his office, the White House, and said, I want each of you to take bailout dollars.
Whether they needed it or not.
And a couple of them said no at the beginning of the meeting. Mm-hmm. Now, by the end of the meeting, all 9 of them signed up for taking literally billions of dollars of bailout dollars. Now,
and if I remember correctly, Bill, that meeting didn't last all that long either.
Exactly. I've never seen a CEO of a major corporation make a decision that large all by himself in an hour.
And if I'm correct, Bill, correct my memory if I'm wrong here, when they walked into that room, they didn't know what the meeting was about, did they?
Exactly. They certainly didn't know they were going to sign up for billions of dollars.
Yeah.
And so in my book, I start with that. That's literally the first
phone
couple
call.
Pages of my book.
Yep.
And only I change one little detail. in the detail I change is he calls together the CEOs of the 10 largest banks, and the CEO of the 10th largest bank says, hell no.
Mm-hmm.
And the book is really about what the government would do in a situation where a CEO of a bank said, on the basis of his principles, you know,
right,
core American values,
right. Right.
My bank doesn't need to take bailout dollars, and I don't believe my bank or any bank should take bailout dollars.
Right. And he resisted, and he was, they were going to make him pay the price.
They tried several different ways to make him pay the price. But in the course of the book, two other industries are involved. One of his sons actually is working as a liberal, trying to figure out what to do about the automobile industry.
Right.
And the other son is a hedge fund owner and has to deal with that. And a daughter actually is in the airline business because I've been...
And that all gets intertwined. Hold on to this, that thought, folks. Bill Diffenderfer is with us, ladies and gentlemen. The book is called A Bank of Last Resort. These are cautionary tales for your and my small business as well, ladies and gentlemen. 2012, stay with us. Little Steely Dan bringing us back, 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for being part of my day, hanging out with us. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll go hang out there a while because I think you'll find some stuff that will benefit you. We got lots of stuff there. You got 5 seconds or 15 minutes or anywhere in between on any topic under the Small Business Sun. We got it there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Search engine where you can find a topic or a name, or we got categories you can look through, you can read, you can listen, you can ask questions. My blog is there. Subscribe to my free newsletter, which is there, comes every week by email. We just had our 10th anniversary of the newsletter. And, of course, we just celebrate our 12th anniversary of our show. So check that out, folks, smallbusinessadvocate.com. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. And we're having a great visit with our new friend, Bill Diffenderfer. Bill is the author of A Bank of Last Resort. It's a novel that is truly a cautionary tale, folks, for what has happened with the commingling of the government into the marketplace, the encroachment, the camel's nose and shoulders now under the tent of capitalism, and folks, you know, these are canaries in the mine shaft. These things that Bill writes about are canaries that typically, Bill, small businesses, you know, we're often sort of the canary in the mine shaft out here on Main Street, but this is kind of reverse of that role, isn't it? I mean, we're seeing things happen on Wall Street and in the big financial houses that are macro versions of little macro intrusions that we're going to have on the Main Street, aren't they?
Absolutely. You would never expect that companies like Bank of America could get under the thumb of the government so thoroughly, so quickly. And yet that's exactly what's happened. In fact, I'm going to point out something else that people really haven't thought about enough, and that is at no time in the roughly 250-year history of our country has the banking industry been so controlled by the government as it is right now.
Hmm.
That's stunning, but that's true.
Well, I completely agree with you. I mean, even during the Great Depression.
Absolutely, and it is not healthy when the government controls the banking industry, because the banking industry controls the flow of funds. And the government really doesn't understand how dollars flow, which is why, for instance, the dollars are not flowing to small businesses.
Right.
They need to. And yet everybody talks about the small business importance, but the government isn't doing anything to get the dollars flowing to small business. Instead, they're all concerned about how to control the major industries, because the government's about control right now and not about helping business.
Well, all we're getting, all small business owners are getting is lip service.
Absolutely.
And here's why, Bill. Here's my opinion why. Number one, they don't understand small business. Number two, they can't push one button and move as much of the mountain as they can with big companies. Number three, I think that they misunderstand what we need, and what we need, we don't need more loans. Bill. There are independent community banks ready to loan small businesses money right now, standing by, ready to go. Small business owners are not asking for the loans. They don't want the loans necessarily. And four, they don't want to do, the government doesn't want to do what we really need them to do, and that's get out of our way. They don't want to do that. That'd be antithetical to who they are.
Well, I think your reasons two and four are the real key here, because the government doesn't like things it can't control.
That's right.
And politicians go into government not to make money, but to control things. The bigger the thing they can control, the more they like it.
Thank you, because that's what I've said about this healthcare thing. How long have I been telling you this? I've been telling you this now for a year. That this is not, this healthcare thing is not about reform, it's about control.
Absolutely right. And you know, the thing about my book that I really want to emphasize is that when the country gets in trouble, and countries do get in trouble just like people do, and we're in trouble right now, the thing that a country should do is just what things the people should do, which is you go back to your core principles. It's in times of strife that one's values are most important. And we know what the American principles are. We know what our democracy was founded on and how our world is supposed to work, business versus government. And here we are in trouble, and we're getting away from those principles, not going toward them.
Well, don't you think it's because we have people in Washington who are not vested in those principles?
I think that's right. I hate to say it.
We need to quit being politically correct about this, don't we? I mean, don't we need to call it like it is? I mean, we've got a political class, and I'm not going to say Democrat or Republican, Bill. We've got a political class up there that they're not all like this, but there's enough of them that the tank is tainted.
What they're supposed to do. They get there, and it's almost like they take laughing gas or something, and they think that the rest of America is stupid, and we're not. We know what government's supposed to do, and they best get to it.
Well, to call them... When a politician looks at a problem, it's a very monofaceted issue for them. This is something that people are upset about. I must do something about it. That's their way of looking at it. You and I know that the marketplace is a multifaceted on steroids.
Absolutely.
Kind of a thing. And you push one button and it creates something somewhere else.
Law of unintended consequences is all over the marketplace.
Yep. So in your book, Jace is the protagonist.
Right, the bank CEO.
Yeah.
And he's a John Wayne kind of character.
Yeah.
Jace is a classic, strong American leader.
Yep. And he winds up actually, now has, when we come back, I'm gonna get you to answer this question. Is there an example in America of a Jace? Was there really a person, a Jace, who resisted the government and then actually won? 10 till the hour. Right back with our new friend, Bill Diffenderfer. The book is called A Bank of Last Resort. Stay with us.
As I was walking down the street one day,
we're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate, having a great visit with our new friend, soon to be old friend, because we're going to get him back again. He's got lots to teach us, Bill Diffenderfer. And it spells just like it sounds, just like my name. Blasingame is spelled just like it sounds. It's not as hard as you might think, folks. Diffenderfer. There are three F's, but they're not all together. And so check it out. But the new book is called A Bank of Last Resort. Bill, tell us where it's available and how we can find you.
Well, first of all, it's four F's, by the way.
The
Diffenderfer's got F's everywhere. But the easiest way is on Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com. You can get your bookstore, but it probably won't be there. You'll probably have to order it from your bookstore if you go to the local one.
Right, right.
But it's definitely at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
And pardon me for you're exactly right. You know, I was looking at what we said in here on my programming information, and we left one of the F's out. But I see that now in your book, folks. Two F's in both places. So check that out, Bill Diffenderfer. Folks, it's a fascinating book. You will not want to put it down, Bill. I asked you at the break who the real Jace is.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you, and there is no single person. But Jace is the idea of the American that I always wanted to be and wanted to know. He's, John Wayne. He's a combination of Atticus Finch and To Kill a Mockingbird.
Right.
He's the best of us.
Yes.
And there are people like that. There are lots of people that really are the Jaces of the world.
Yeah.
And they're the ones who
they're on Main Street. Most of them are on Main Street.
Ronald Reagan was a Jace. They're the classic American that we were brought up to love and revere.
Yeah. There are millions of them, and they're called small business owners.
Absolutely. They do exist, although the world wants to make you think, our government wants to make you think that they don't exist.
Yeah.
That somehow the government...
Or what they believe in is not important.
Exactly. And what they believe in is absolutely the key to what we are.
And can be... they also want you to believe that whatever you believe in, even if you believe in it more strongly than anything in the world, you can compromise it.
Absolutely, and Jace has
Jace
to deal
doesn't
with that.
Do that, does he?
In the storyline, Jace, like anybody, has to deal with the real issues that are a problem, and he has
right.
to make a very big concession in order to get what he thinks is the most important, a personal concession. But again, the point is, people like these kind of heroes.
Absolutely,
and we need them.
Well, I've got a new scenario for you, Bill. Tomorrow morning, we're going to wake up, and the President of the United States' name is Diffenderfer. And I would like for you to tell us what President Diffenderfer would do right now.
You know, that's a great question. The first thing I would do is get on the line and say, okay, guys, let's get back to what we believe in. Here's what I believe in. Here's what I'm going to tell you. And I'm going to guarantee some things. I'm going to guarantee that I personally will stick to the core of America's beliefs that come right out of our Constitution.
Right.
Okay, that's the first thing I do. The second thing I do, and you think I'm playing up to your audience, but I'm not. On my website, the Go America Project, I've got a tax proposal
mm-hmm.
for small business, and it's very simple. You take 20% of the amount that every small business owes to the government at the end of the year, and you allow them to defer that.
Yeah.
They defer it for 3 years, and it's forgiven if they invest in capital goods for their business.
Yep.
Because that spreads right through the economy, or they hire an individual for at least a year. And if at the end of 3 years you haven't used the money that way, then you have to pay it back to the government as if it was a loan.
Right.
At the normal interest rate you pay the government for any overdue.
Right, whatever the imputed rate is. Right.
And
I think that's very good. Let me tell you why that would work, Bill. Over the years, I have interviewed small business owners on this continent and on other continents. And I've asked them this question. I always ask this one question. If you had some of the money that you pay in taxes back, what would you do with that money? Not one of them said, I would buy a house, buy a new car, take a trip around the world, spend it on new shoes. Not one of them said that. I'm talking men and women
right.
all around the world. Every one of them, everyone to the person, without even blinking, without a half a second of hesitation, said, I would put it back in my company.
Right.
Automatic.
That's what they do.
It's automatic.
Yeah. So here's a proposal that is actually on my website, the Go America Project. It's simple. The IRS can administer it without any question. It doesn't add complexity. It gets money right to the place where it can be most used.
Yep.
It creates the most jobs. The only problem is government doesn't get to control it.
Right. Oh, well, that's the fatal flaw then. Hey, Bill, give us the website again, please.
GoAmericaProject, all one word, .org.
And the book is called A Bank of Last Resort. Does it have a website or is it found there?
It does, but it's actually found at the Go America Project in a better way.
So check that out, folks. Also available wherever books are sold, right?
Yes, sir.
And your other book, the Samurai Leader is around the world, folks. Something under a billion copies.
I wish that was true.
Hey, Bill, will you come back?
Go ahead.
Will you come back another day?
I would happily do so.
Thank you. We'll do it again real soon. Thanks a lot. Bill Diffenderfer, ladies and gentlemen. Fascinating. We'll have him back. Quick break. I'll be back after the news. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.